Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome home. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Graham. And this podcast is the home ec class you wish you'd been offered.
We're two moms who've been real life best friends for more than two decades. We're trying to create gracious homes that are welcoming, but also functional, all while dealing with real life schedules, budgets, and children.
Stick with us and we'll share and show what we know, what we've learned, where we've messed up, and how to fix it. For everything we can't make up, we'll bring in the best experts we can find. You're listening to Welcome Home.
On today's episode of Welcome Home, it's life skills for all. Do you know how to change a tire? Do your children? Can you change a light bulb without getting glass shards in your eyes? Plan a party? Properly forward mail? We're diving into a list of over 90 skills we all should have, while debating which ones to teach our children.
Plus, what Graham could teach Elon Musk about his finances, how hunting for water in the desert could end up killing you, and whether our guests should be deputized to use a plunger. All that and more on today's episode of Welcome Home. Welcome home, Kirsten.
Welcome home, Graham, to your lovely under construction home.
Oh, it's always something fun over here. We have someone moving into our house on Thursday, allegedly, although I haven't even spoken to the guy.
I'm so sorry. I just took a drink of my drink and it smells. Wait, I gotta get back to that, but this is terrible. Body Armor Light.
Why do you drink all these weird beverages?
Because the kids like one beverages for their... You know what? I don't know how. Okay, wait. I'm sorry. Table that. Why do you have someone moving into your house? That's more important.
We decided that it was less expensive to let someone live in our house for the summer rent-free than it would be to board our dog for all the time traveling.
So that is a wise decision.
Yeah. So basically, and it's actually kind of fun. We have this young gentleman, I guess you could say. He's a recent college graduate, but he's also a basketball coach. My kids love basketball. And so we're hoping that they can play a little basketball. He can live rent-free. I'm not really quite sure what it's going to be like. But the reason it made me think of that was because, you know, I usually walk around in my icky grandma bathrobe and I'm like, I can't do that every day. So I bought myself kind of this old mom cardigan that I'm going to break out.
Wait, I'm trying to think. Do you have a private entrance to your guest room, or is he just like...
Not really. It's just kind of far on the other side of the house. I feel like it's away from where we sleep, but it's not like its own freestanding pavilion or anything like that.
Yeah. He's legit living with you.
He's legit living with us. Like if he wants a kitchen, if he wants to make himself an egg in the morning, he's got to be in my kitchen. And you know how it is when you're like in your own kitchen, you've got your hair's crazy. You barely brush your teeth, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like, I usually, you know, it's my house. Like I walk around, you know, in my bathrobe and my slippers and whatever. But I'm like, this might not be the most appropriate way to greet a newcomer.
Well, it's so interesting too, because you're going to get like, you're going to get that feeling of like, what is 22? Because
yes, right.
Like you're going to like inflict your expectations of you're grown up, you're a college graduate, you're a voter, you're allowed to drink alcohol, you know?
Like, yeah. Or maybe have girls over. I don't know.
Right,
you're like,
right. But then at the same time, like you're going to also be like, you're such a child. Like, you know?
Right. I know. It's a very strange hybrid. So I'm kind of looking forward to it in a way, but then I also am having a fireplace built in our bedroom. We've got a lot going on. We are fully under construction. Our house is fun. I woke up at 5 this morning to rain coming into this fireplace that's in the midst of construction.
Oh, no.
It was just pouring rain into my bedroom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I think they're fixing that. And gray skies are going to clear up. The sun's out for the next 5 days. All is well. But it is one thing when you hear just rain like pouring into your bedroom and there's nothing you can do about it.
That has happened to me. We took off our roof like maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and it was the 100-year storm.
Oh, in Arizona, right? So that never happens.
Yeah. That's well, it crazy. Happens. There's monsoon season in the summer, mm-hmm. but like this was like a crazy storm and we didn't have a roof. It was rough. Okay. But so, yeah. So I was going to explain to you because I actually need your advice on this. This will actually lead us a little bit into our topic too. Mm-hmm.
Which we should probably introduce at some point.
Yeah. So we're talking about like kind of like life skills, but that's just a teaser. That's just a little taste. Okay. So here's a problem that I have. I'm trying to teach my children a life skill of like basic economics, right? So they like to go to school
And they have like, they each have an account, you know, for the school lunches. And they like to go to school and buy chips for like $1.50 each. Mm, and I'm like, what?
I think a lot of people listening feel that.
Yeah, issue. It's very
frustrating. I feel like we all get busted with the chips.
Yes, right. Or like, mom, I bought a cookie. It was $2. Or I bought chips. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, $1.50. Or I bought a Gatorade. It was $2. Mm-hmm. And I brought them to Costco and I'm like, here is a bag of, you know, here's the exact same chips. It's literally the same bag they're selling at school. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if when yeah. I do it and we did it, we got a little math lesson. I'm like, it's like 40 cents.
40 cents. I was just going to say 40 cents. That's funny. Right. And well, right. But then you get like me.
You and I are price per unit people. That's how we yeah. roll.
Well, but then you get like me, who's literally like putting goldfish into a Ziploc bag. Because if you do that, you can get it down to like 8 cents. I mean, why on earth are we prepackaging?
Well, that's a whole nother conversation, because what I really need, and listeners, if you have any thoughts on this, I've got a whole list of challenges. My son likes a very thin lunchbox in his defense. Like, he has to cram all the stuff in a backpack and then he's got to cram it in a locker. Anyway, they like a thin lunchbox, but I need a lunchbox that has like a bento box type of thing.
Okay.
But I can't have it look babyish. That's the thing. I need like a grown up, mature bento box lunchbox thing, because like I went on that tangent for a while with the putting goldfish in bags, and it's just like,
I know, it's a pain. It's a pain.
But when I've got bento boxes, then it's like, yeah, I can just pour a little each one. I get assembly line style. It's great. But anyway.
But it's smarter. It's better for the environment. I'm more and more trying to think about ways to be better. For example, with gas, like I realized, don't sit in my car and just read a book while my child's at practice. Like, turn off the engine and go in and just sit, you know, versus sit. I mean, I don't actually do that often, but I do try to think about those things a little bit.
Mm.
Or when they ship those little snack packs, they're just shipping air, right? Because they're all puffed up with air. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, no, it's true. But yeah, so they buy these drinks and it drives me bananas, because one, they're just full of sugar, and two, they're expensive. And so now I'm like, I have to go buy crappy drinks at Costco. Where what I should say is,
here's because they, now they have a lowbrow drink addiction. Because they've discovered them at school.
Right. And it's like, what I should say is, you have to drink water.
Yeah. But I have a hard line. We're pretty much water people. So it's very, very
good. Graham, why don't you confess what you really drink?
What milk. Do I really drink? Oh, yeah. I drink a ton of milk. Really? I drink so much milk. And we drink probably what people would think would be like a creepy amount of milk.
Mm-hmm. You guys,
I feel like if you looked at our dinner table, we'd be like, in like some Kansas Midwestern family, totally. Like just drinking our glasses of milk. Like, I feel like it's very Norman Rockwell. If you look at our dinner table,
we had a sponsorship deal with milk that unfortunately fell through at the very last minute. This was like a $1 billion real estate deal
for
the amount of back and forth negotiations we had over this milk advertisement.
I've
never seen Graham more excited than to be a milk sponsor.
Yeah, to be the face of milk. I mean, I was excited about that. That was cool.
One of many, but yeah.
Whatever. We had a shot in the big leagues. It was fun.
She was, at least, I mean, beside cool. herself.
You know.
When Graham loves her milk. But anyway, so that's like a life skill I've been teaching my kids, which we will bring us into today's topic.
Life skills. It's a cool idea. So I found this awesome checklist. You know, I love a checklist, and they're called Life Skills for Today's Young Adults. And it was just things that I think we can be teaching our children. It's a great list of, you know, do they know how to do that?
Right. But I also feel like I was looking at the list and it's interesting. It does remind me a little bit of an episode we did, like, how do you not know how to do that?
Yes, I do remember that.
But... Okay. So I want to put a little welcome home spin on it.
Okay.
And I want to say, as you're going through this, I want us to also maybe, we should have like a code word or a sound. I wish I had sound effects. I wish I had like a bell I could ring.
Marielle?
No, we're not going to do that to Marielle. I do have a cell phone with like the whole internet in my hand. I could find a sound. Anyhow, we're not going to do that. But we'll say, let's have a word that says, this is really something I could work on as a life skill as well.
Oh, that's fair. Okay.
Or if it reminds you of a life skill that's not on this list, but it reminds you of one, because also I think that we're the homework class you wish you'd been offered. And so there's a lot of things like, why was this not taught to me?
Yeah, why no, I actually feel angry sometimes, because I remember asking my parents to teach me more things at a time, like tell me more things, like I really want to be prepared, and them not following through. So let's dive in. Okay. Change attire. This is something that's the number one thing on the list. It's the first thing I do. I actually do not know how to do that.
So I have not changed attire in forever, but before I was allowed to give my license, I had to change attire. And my dad would like tie me with a stopwatch.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'll travel with you then. So you would know how to
I don't remember. That was so long ago. And I'll just tell you the truth. The first time I got a flat tire, I was in high school and I was driving. Boots used to live on like this hill and it was this super, very, very steep hill. And then his driveway was off to the side. So it was steep hill, turned up steep driveway, double steep. Mm-hmm. And I got a flat tire on the bottom of his street. And I drove it up the street with three tires up his driveway. And I'm like, I got a flat. And then he changed it. And my dad was like, where did you got this flat in your boyfriend's driveway? I'm like, I know. Can you believe it?
That's ridiculous. Oh my God. It always seemed like a very dangerous thing to me. I mean, I feel like the idea of pumping your car up on some sort of flimsy little metal thing, it always just seemed like a bad idea that I wasn't really sure. Actually, maybe we should dive into that. The reason I haven't taught myself to change a tire, because I don't think it's a good idea for me to know how to do.
Because
it
I've
just
seen
seems very dangerous.
Totally. Totally. I know. It's terrifying. And then also when you see someone change a tire, like when you call, the next one is call roadside assistance.
Mm-hmm.
When you see
it's always looks dangerous.
Well, no. I was going to say, when you see someone from AAA doing it, it's like watching a professional painter versus like watching me with like a little Crayola set. Like their tools are better. They do it like 100 times faster. Like, you know what I mean? Like I've got like the little dinky, like DIY, like my first toolkit set that comes with your car. You know, they've got like the professional, like they just go boom, push a button and the car's like up. Like I trust their equipment.
That's what I'm saying. What if the car dropped on you? Like jacking up a car, thus to remove a tire, does not seem like something I need to be doing. I'm just going to say.
Fine. Unless you're trapped in the desert.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's a life skill. It's a life skill. But roadside assistance.
Then okay. So I have to tell you, when you were talking about not sitting in the car and reading a book.
Okay.
I got a new car. I'd had a car for about 12 years and I just got my new car and I got a Tesla. And talk about sitting in the car. Now, I don't have to feel guilty about using,
you're right. You're just using your electricity. You don't have to. You can just.
But you
hang
don't understand,
out.
Grim. I've got Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're
I
right.
I can literally sit in my car and just watch movies.
Oh, no. Don't you have the crackling fireplace, too?
I have a crackling fireplace that plays like, Let's Make Love Tonight. It's romantic music.
It's the romance setting. It's really amazing. Those cars are so cool.
Oh, gosh.
They're really cool. But, okay. Renew your license registration. That's crucial.
How to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I can't really relate to that. I feel like that's,
Need people who are intelligent. You know, you just need to be on it. I think that's part of it, is just teaching our children to kind of be on it, to pay attention to things like that. Right. Like that you, every half a year you have to, or whatever it is, you have to pay your car insurance. I mean, just kind of recurring bills, recurring licenses and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How
to schedule an appointment.
How would you not know how to do that?
I don't know. I wonder. I just wonder if my children could do that right now. I guess, granted, my oldest is 11, but I think that's a good skill. Send a professional email. We're not quite there yet. That's like that's a collegiate level skill, I would say.
Well, okay. No, I don't think so. The ultimate life skills challenge for today's young adults, like sending a professional email. I think you have to do that in high school.
Okay. Hopefully.
Maybe even late middle school. Like, I feel like that could come up to you. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's not going to happen overnight. It's like when they first stay home alone. It doesn't happen where like, okay, I'm going to go out for like a 6-hour event. It's like, I'm going to run to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. That's the one across the street. I'm going to pay more because it's closer, you know, because like I need to make this like a quick 15-minute trip, you know.
Absolutely.
That's how you start. So I think like you start with like, okay, what do you want to say? Show it to me before you send it. You're writing it to like your school principal or something.
Right. It's not like, hey, !!
Yeah. And you, but I mean, you're not going to send a letter to like, you know, Elon Musk, your first.
Or a tweet. Did you see that? I'm just sorry. I'm not feeling why one would buy Twitter. I don't see it. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Twitter, but I didn't see that as the best use of funds. Me, who's talking about prepackaging my own goldfish, does not approve of Elon Musk's $44 billion acquisition of Twitter.
They're very related.
That was a head scratcher to me. I was like, really?
Really?
Like, where did you see, how did you see the monetization of that? I find it to be the most messy interface.
I don't feel like he needs to worry about monetization. I think at this point, it's just like principles. Like, we're having free speech. Oh, you won't give it to me? I'm going to buy it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I see it more as like, as more as like, you know, kind of like when you get extra money, you want to give to charity. I feel like this is his, like, when you're at that level, like, you want to like make a societal impact. I don't think he's worried about like turning a profit.
Okay. Except I see these things as such a flash in the pan. Hopefully he can find someone to sell it.
Twitter now. Is a flash in the pan, you think?
Yeah, I kind of think so.
You know what is the saddest? I mean,
do you check Twitter?
I guess there's significantly sadder stories, but Snapchat. I mean, I wonder that person who like was offered like $3 billion for Snapchat, like the minute it came out, and they're like, no.
Wait, did they turn it down?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know.
You never know what's going to come in and come out. I mean, that's the thing.
Right. Like, I mean, when someone offers you billions of dollars, like, I would just be like, okay, next project.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll move on to the next thing. Done. Rubber stamp. I know.
Like, what's your time worth? What's your time worth? If it's worth Graham putting goldfish in a Ziploc. That's We're true, also an right? economics show, too.
I could be better.
We have a sponsor we want to tell you about. Egyptian cotton t-shirts. So, what are these t-shirts, guys? They're not your typical t-shirt. They're 100% authentic Egyptian cotton.
Certified. Have you ever even heard of that, Kirsten?
No. Here's the deal. Of course we've heard of it. Egyptian cotton. It's like, yeah, no big deal. Egyptian cotton. We hear it all the time. But
not in clothes.
Well, no. That's a lie. Only 1% of the world's entire entire world's cotton is actually Egyptian cotton. So like you hear this term being tossed around willy-nilly. You've been living a lie. There's only, I mean, this is a very rare commodity. So these actually come from Egypt. They are 100% organic Egyptian cotton, non-toxic, low-impact dyes. They are made ethically in the actual Cairo, Egypt, and shipped to the U.S. for free with a $150 plus order.
Yes, darling pants and t-shirts. I would definitely say like I order a size small. They were definitely like loose on me. These are your comfy around the house. Like you can sleep in these pants, like super just like loungewear. I would definitely say super loungewear, but they make shirts and pants. Everything's pre-shrunk, which is really neat. Lovely solid colors and incredibly comfortable. They have really nice deep pockets. The pants do. There's no tag.
These are your Zoom pants, people. Like these are what you wear when you're business on top, casual on the bottom for the pants. Because mm-hmm. I've just realized I don't like sitting on a Zoom call in jeans. Like it's uncomfortable. You know? Like
and I'm
ready to like put on. I know I said it before. I'm ready to like put on real clothes to go to work. But like, man, if I'm not, I want to be comfortable.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, they sell short sleeve crew necks, short sleeve V-necks, women's. They sell
men's
sizes. So there you go. Give them a try. And also, here's the other thing that is special about this company, fair trade.
Which is delightful and very important. All right. You can experience exceptional comfort every day from the world's best cotton. You'll get 20% off your purchase if you use the coupon code WELCOMEHOME, all one word. Try it in caps lock. We're pretty sure that'll work the best. So welcome home, all one word, caps lock. And you go, this is a little long, but stick with me. You go to EgyptianCottonT-shirts.com. So that's Egyptian. So that's EGYPTI.
Egyptian and then cotton and then the letter T.
And then the word shirts.com. So the actual letter T shirts, no hyphen, no anything like that.com. Mm-hmm. So Egyptian cotton t-shirts.com. And use the code welcome home and you'll get 20% off your order. And we hope you enjoy it. It's also a really good gift for like your mom or your dad, I feel like. Very comfy.
Well, what I like too is if you give it to someone as a gift, like I am reading about the supporting people, like they have the workers receive a hot lunch each day. They have access to a medical clinic, safe working conditions, paid fair wages. The factory provides daycare, education, and part-time job for workers' children. So special company, go ahead and support them and use our coupon code. Thank you. Egyptian cotton t-shirts.
Okay. Plunge a toilet, hang a picture. Use a fire extinguisher.
Wait, you skipped a really important one.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's very old-fashioned. Forward mail.
Oh, when was the last time? You're totally right. It's old-fashioned. I was thinking like how to forward an email, like reply all.
Forward an email. Yeah, I'm assuming all the children know how to do that. They're very techie. But actually, that's a really good question. How do you forward mail these days? I feel like it never works out.
Oh, I have no idea. And I'm like so tired of getting the person who used to own this house's mail. I'm just frustrated by it. I don't know how to do it.
Because, so I mean, that's the thing.
There's whatever the sound effect is. Bing!
Right. Return to sender. Or do you say, you know, mailing? What is the formal delineation for forwarding mail? It just seems very willy-nilly to just redrop something in the mail.
I know, but you know what? I am amazed by the post office. I'm like amazed.
I am too.
The crappy handwriting. Like,
yes.
I'm like, the fact that they're like the unsung detective heroes. Like, what they able, well, you know what I mean? It's incredible. So I actually do have, I have all the faith in the world that I can be like, mail this to him. Like, give this to Graham. And they'll like go home to their like, and they're going to like research it. I have a good feeling about
that. Oh, no, I'm a huge advocate for the post office. I love the postal service. I'm always impressed with them, too. And the fact that they'll mail stuff in any way. My South Carolina grandpa used to be really, really creepy with how he'd package stuff. Like, because he once told me, like, you could mail something in anything as long as it was taped up properly. And so I swear to you, he would take like a carton of milk, like a half gallon of milk, and put some stuff in it and then just tape it all around and slap a label on it and just stick it in the mail. I mean, just crazy stuff he would mail.
That's actually amazing. And I really respect that because I have a big pile of hand-me-downs I have to send to my sister-in-law and it's going to take like a big box. And I was like, I'm not going and buying a box. Like, I refuse to buy a box. No,
what he would do, I'm telling you what my grandpa would do. He would have thrown them all in like a grocery store plastic bag and then taped the heck out of the bag, like almost made like a circular bundle, right? Like a waterproof circular bundle.
Waterproof. Genius.
Yeah, they will mail it. You don't need a box.
Right. And so I don't want to buy a box. Well, you know what I'm doing is I'm just, Boots is going to fly back to Phoenix. Like next week. And I'm like, I think it's probably cheaper for you to fly this as a checked bag than for me to ship it. But yeah, no, I'm not buying a box. Like that's against my principles. But I thought we were talking about forwarding emails.
Yeah.
I did want you to know that I had to teach my dad how to reply all.
Oh, I'm sure you did. And they get so excited when they teach you things. I taught my dad the other day how to download an attachment onto his computer. He was emailing it to Kinko's and having them print it out for him.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Just to read it.
Yeah, to read it. He couldn't figure out how to get all his medical records, like that they were emailing him in attachments, like actually on his computer. He wanted to save them. So he had them all printed out. But every time he got a new medical record, he'd like send it to Kinko's or
and they would Office print Depot, it.
And they would print it for him.
What would he do? Scan it into the computer then?
No. Kidding. He feels very comfortable with paper copies. So that was totally. That was thrilling for him. Totally. The worst part we realized is that like he has the combination to this big safe we have in our basement, but we know that he has it like written down somewhere, scribble scrabble.
And does he know where it is?
He does, but what if he kicks it? I mean, how am I gonna get into the safe?
Yeah, somebody should have that.
Yeah, someone's gotta get that. That's a life skill, cracking the safe open.
Well, it was just funny because it was like going with my dad. He acted like he didn't know the word reply all. My dad's really smart and surprisingly techie, but he just hates email. He does not believe in email. Think about things that are flash in the pan. My dad's like, email's not going to stick around. It's so obnoxious. So he thought email was a flash in the pan, but he was definitely like the reply all, like he didn't know that, you know, it was just. Like he was like, how do I reply? But like, I want to answer this email to everyone. And I'm like,
well, it is kind of old fashioned. Think about it, that we CC and like BCC. So CC stands for carbon copy. It's so old fashioned. Like our children wouldn't know what a carbon copy was if they, you know, they.
I've thought about that so many times because I love it when you go to like an event at a hotel and the credit card machine's not working and they get out that like.
Oh, they get out the paper. Yeah, like someone's got paper in a drawer. I remember one time when I worked at Origins in high school, like whenever the register would break, I would break out in a cold sweat thinking about having to like dip into the drawer and get out those little like, you know, hand runners that you'd have to do.
Carbon machines. Wait a minute. By the way, Graham, how long did you work at Origins?
I don't know. It feels like a million years, but it was probably like 3 weeks.
Graham has more stories about her past career working at Origins. Like she talked about this thing in college, like she had worked there, you know, for a decade.
But you would have thought I was like the general counsel for Origins. I don't know, maybe 7 weeks,
every
8 weeks.
Product, like ingredients.
I was a real fan of that company. They even sent me to training in Manhattan for a day. I'm still loyal. I still use a lot of their products. They're excellent. I don't know why Kathleen Jennings never talks about Origins, to be honest. Like, she's so fancy, but she's one of our skincare guests we had on quite some time ago, and she's got a bajillion followers.
Everyone
buys all of her stuff and whatever. But every now and then I think to myself, like, what about some just old school Oil of Olay and some Origins? Like, great products.
Yeah, I still use my Oil of Olay every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. Let's not over fancy ourselves.
Number three on this list. Let's keep going.
That's what I'm saying. We got to keep moving.
Change a light bulb. Duh. Plunge a toilet.
No, it's not duh. Change a light bulb is not duh. My husband changes light bulbs looking up at light bulbs. I don't, like, here's the deal. He works with his eyes. He is an attorney. I need you to not look up at a light bulb when you're changing something that is up top.
That never once occurred to me right now. So right now.
Are you kidding me? Like, if that thing pops, which is such a commonality, I've had so many light bulbs pop, you're going to get little tiny glass things in your eye.
Hey, Graham, I got a therapist joke for you. How many narcissists does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
None. They use gaslighting.
Oh, my God. I can't wait till we can start doing counseling episodes now that we have a subject matter expert.
Okay. Plunge a toilet. I don't want to talk about that. Let's move on.
It's important, though, especially with boys.
Here's a life skill question. Boots wants us to keep a toilet plunger in our guest room. Because he's like, imagine being the guest at a house, like not a guest room, I'm sorry, at the powder room. Like, you know, the one just like when people are over for dinner. He's like, imagine being there at a dinner party and being in a situation where you need to plunge at the toilet and there's not a plunger. That's horrifying.
That's really, actually, I have to side with Boots on that. And that's kind of
imagine just coming to someone's house and be like, ew, toilet plunger? Ugh.
Well, you keep it hidden, but you have it somewhere that they can get to it if they need it.
Mm.
That's actually, I think
we
that's
don't
have
not a vanity in there. We have a, like, just an open.
Oh, just a freestanding sink.
Uh-huh.
That is a very.
Have this like gross plastic toilet plunger that people are like, that's a poop magnet out.
Well, that's how I feel also about room spray or whatever it is. We don't have that in our house, but I feel like people kind of want that. It makes them feel comfortable.
It makes me feel safe. How to hang a picture. Here's how you hang a picture. You get married. Okay, next.
And what? To have them hang it?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Like,
I love hanging pictures. Are you kidding me? I'm excellent at hanging pictures.
I am very detail oriented and very, like, I can't. I just kind of see. Like, if you move any picture in my house that I hung, there's like 25 holes behind it where I like almost got it right.
Oh, that's great. Harrison and I actually fight over hanging pictures because he's a complete perfectionist and I can eyeball most. I can really pretty much do it without measuring.
That's what I think.
I have to hang when he's not. Use a fire extinguisher. Okay, I recently taught myself to use that, so I'm feeling better about myself.
I feel like the school should be helping out with some of these. Like, I need a safety day at school. You know, like, I feel like we had a safety day at school and that's when my kids were like, we need a fire extinguisher. We need a safety plan.
I feel like I've spent a lot more time riding around town on a fire extinguisher, on a fire truck than I did actually learning to use a fire extinguisher or fire. I know stop, drop and roll, but I feel like I was always riding on a fire truck when I was little.
Yeah.
That was a major.
Lots of riding on fire trucks, lots of stop, drop and roll.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I wish, do they still do that? Do kids like ride on fire trucks?
No, I feel like they prepared us for different things. Like, I saw this meme the other day that said, like, why? I remember what it said. It wasn't about kids, but it said, like, when I was a kid, I really thought I'd have to do a lot of, like, find a lot of outfits that could effortlessly convert from work clothes to going out clothes. They're like, it hasn't been a problem.
That's true. We did need that.
I really thought I'd be lit on fire a lot.
Yeah, we did learn a lot about that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I was very much prepared to survive in the desert. There was a lot of desert survival. I can get water from pretty much anything.
That's great to know. I didn't realize that. That's
but
a
then
very
here's what they tell you after like days and weeks of teaching you how to like properly cut a cactus rib to like put it in the right way where like the sun will make precipitation, and then you can use like you use plastic wrap to make it drip down. They're like, by the way, you will exert far more energy in the sun doing this than you will be able to produce, so it's a negative It's a net loss. But this
makes me actually really happy. Like, locational life skills. Okay, yeah. So you can get water. See, because I
can... Here's the thing. They're like, it's not going to be enough water. You're going to waste more water getting the water. So you only could move at night. That was, like, the big takeaway. They're like, listen, just lie there and try to find shade.
Yeah, we know that. I mean, I feel like that's a basic desert skill. And so my life skill is always, like, know everyone around you. I feel like that was a really big New York thing of like you, wherever you are, you have like an eye on everyone. Like, does that shady man have his hands in his pockets? What could be in his pockets? Like, is that lady carrying a purse, but really could there be like something in the purse? You need to make sure. Is that guy going to offer you candy in the next 3 minutes? You're going to need to deflect that. Like, we were always learning how to make sure like we knew exactly who was around us. Like, if you could do a 360 and what they could spring on you. And I actually think it's really helped me because I do have like, I can go into a room and I almost have a little bit of Sherlock in me. Like, I can like size up who's in the room, what they're doing. Like, if anyone's like a threat, you know,
yeah,
and like where the exits are.
Yeah.
Very good. That was a big childhood thing. Like, always know like what's coming at you.
A lot of mob attacks, Graham, you're avoiding.
No, you were just like, you had to know like everything in your ether, basically. You had to like wherever you were, you always had to size up. Like, even with driving, because driving was so tricky to learn. Like, you had to know like every car around you. You just had a really good eye on. Wherein when I drive with my husband, I feel like he doesn't really have a good sense of like what the like I could tell you the speed when I'm on the highway of every car around me. You know, like I could see if like the guy to my back rear right is going like 55 miles an hour versus 70 miles an hour. I could tell you that.
So the moral of the story is send our new drivers to Long Island to really
New York for training. Yeah, for driver training.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the... get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I now know how to look for tick bites. Like, that was that's a new life skill. Actually, that's a life skill my kids have gotten it too. It's like looking for tick bites.
That is a big deal. Well, hopefully you never have to look for one because you never want a tick on you and you never want to get to bite stage. That's terrible. That's terrifying in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I'm more scared of that than I'm scared of like cholera. And to be honest, at some points like COVID, I mean,
oh, I'm way more scared of Lyme disease than COVID.
Lyme disease it's like is having long no haulers. Joke. Yeah, the Connecticut people, because you guys have it everywhere up there. Sorry, be very scared of ticks. There is a scare of ticks. Sorry.
I'll keep my kids inside and out of playing outside in the fun.
And out of harm's way. Okay, knife safety. That's a good one.
My dad sent my children a giant box of knives.
I could see that.
Yeah. It was one of those old filing cabinets. You know those like filing boxes when you like get fired from a job in like a movie?
Oh, yeah.
You have to leave the building with your plant.
Oh, like, yes. Yeah, one of those boxes with like the easily removable top.
Mm-hmm. And when my parents moved, they brought like a bunch of junk they wanted to get rid of because they didn't want to move it. And one was this box and it said medical books. And then I opened it up and it was full of knives. And
he like switchblades or?
All the knives. Oh, every kind of knife you can imagine.
I love that. What a sweet grandpa. I bet your boys love that.
There's more box of knives. Okay.
Prepare a meal for a guest. That's a good one. I like that. Meal plan. That's crucial. Obviously, you know I love that one.
Beep, whatever the sound is.
What is your beep?
I still don't really meal plan.
I do it kind of, or now I'm, how about this? I'm not as good about following my intricate one every day, but I try to like plan out what we're going to have for the next 5 days, like have a sense of the direction.
Mm-hmm. Sew a button.
mediocre at that.
I know. I think that's so important. I actually do think that's really important.
I could do it. It's just not beautiful looking.
Wash laundry. You know what?
Yeah, it's important to teach your children.
Well, it is. You know what? And I had this brilliant teacher at our old school, Mrs. Flower. She was amazing. And she said, hey, if your kids can figure out how to work an iPad, they can figure out how to work a dishwasher and that's a washing true. Machine. And that's I might have even said that on the podcast, but it bears repeating because those are words of wisdom.
That is true. It's very true. They're smarter than we give them credit for. Understand credit and debit. I think that's important.
Super important.
Yeah. I don't think mine know that.
What do you think about open a checking account? Well, we're getting into a sensitive topic because, you know, I really like my Greenlight accounts for my kids.
I actually meant to tell you, this is more off topic, but I actually overdrew our business checking account yesterday.
I know. I got a big thing. Okay. Wait, we'll talk about that.
We need to talk about that offline.
Beep. We need to teach Graham basic credit debit.
No, I never do that. I'm wonderful with money. Something wrong happened. I can't believe you never told me. Why are you getting stuff in the mail?
I got a lot of money and I was like, wahoo.
Wait, I'm so confused. You got
that's
a lot
why
of
I was going to go out and buy myself a new microphone.
What are you talking about? You got a lot of money.
We'll talk about it offline.
We'll talk about that offline. Okay.
I was really proud of us.
I hope I didn't make this up. Wait, did you should have gotten money yesterday? I was transferring money from PayPal to our business checking account.
We have a business checking account?
I'm going to kill you. If I mess this up again, you're dead. Okay. We're going to move on. Well, there we go. Make a large purchase there. That's the next thing on the list. Kirsten, do not spend any of the money. I'm really hoping that went directly into our checking account, not to you. Okay. Okay. Create a basic will.
I don't think.
I mean, the government creates one for you, I guess, if you have not created a basic will.
Give us everything. Create a resume. Here's the problem. A lot of these are outdated now. There's a wonderful website I use when I was making my resume to go to grad school, and they'll give you suggestions for like what other people with that job did. Anyway, there's all I'm saying is that there's so many tools that were not available to us.
There are sweet tools.
For example, navigate without a map.
That's a good one. Well, yeah, but just how to use a map if they ever had to.
How to use a map. Do you remember how we used to just drive to places?
I love it. We went to school. Doesn't it seem reckless? Reckless.
We went to school 3 hours from Washington, D.C. And we had to go to Washington, D.C. And we would just drive and then stop at a gas station. We're like, which way's to D.C.? That was our navigating style. And then one day we said, which way to the airport? And so we went to
went to Dulles we went to Dulles when we were supposed to go to Reagan, which who's familiar with DC, that is not a recipe for success when you're trying to leave the country. Because they're very far apart.
But we didn't know. We just asked the guy at the gas station, how do you get to the airport?
Oh yeah. And it was 5 a.m. So just finding someone at the gas station. Right. I mean, yeah. And we were just on the open road. No cell phones, no anything. Just
nothing. Oh my gosh. The road trips you used to take without cell phones. It sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it was delightful. We always figured it out. We always got somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you do wonder how we figured that out.
Okay. How to test a smoke alarm. You should know that.
Push the button.
Yeah. Change air filters, vacuum and empty a filter.
But I'm still good. Wait, say it's clear. I don't think anyone vacuum to what filter?
Vacuum and empty the filter.
Oh, and empty the filter. Oh, I see. Of the vacuum. Okay.
Yeah, so it depends on your vacuum. Okay. Here's one. I want to skip some of these. Some of these are boring, but mow a lawn.
Okay. That would not work since we don't own a lawnmower, which is not good.
Unclog. Okay. And I'm going to throw in one here. Regional. Shovel snow.
Ooh, very crucial. But I feel like people would know how to actually shovel snow.
Well,
there is a little bit of a mechanism to that. You can't throw your back. You can throw your back out pretty quick. You got to really lift with your legs.
Yeah. And you can realize you're shoveling it. And then when you realize you made a big pile that you then have to move again because you didn't throw it far enough.
Oh, yeah. Strategic placement. That's crucial. And also you can't, if you get a foot of snow, you can't dig to the full bottom of the snow. You've got to take out the first 6 inches. Then you've got to work on the second 6 inches. I think everyone knows that though.
Yeah. Okay. This is a really good one that I still have not mastered. Okay. Actually, listeners, I need help here. I am shedding my hair. I have a lot of hair. I have a very thick head of hair and I clog all the drains.
So you need to unclog a drain.
But I feel like I always am seeing these ads for
Shark Tank-esque type of products that'll catch all the hair. If anybody has like an amazing idea for unclogging a drain, how to iron.
Yes. Crucial. Important.
Steaming too.
Iron a shirt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How to make a bed. I read an excellent book called Make Your Bed. Always Make Your Bed.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it. It's a great book. Okay.
It's about like starting your day off, right? Right.
It was just kind of, it's like written by like an, like a,
it's a military concept.
Yes. But it's, yes. But it's just like good life lessons for kids on like, like self-discipline and kind of like pursuing excellence.
Well, I think it helps ward off loneliness. You know how we did two episodes of, on loneliness? It sounds really weird, but I think for children, if they have a structure that they think that they can't break every day, right? Like, I think part of the thing when you hear about people, I mean, obviously this is not the root of it, right? But like people are depressed. This clearly is not all of it, but right? Like it's you, your tendency is to stay in bed and not get dressed for the day. And I think the whole make a bed concept is literally the day starts, you open your eyes, you have this impulse of like, I must get out of bed. I must make my bed, right? So it makes it like a barrier to getting back into the bed. Mm-hmm. And I must like put on my, my clothes, which include shoes, right? Which prevents you also from crawling back into bed. Like you're kind of ready. It kind of thrusts you out into the world versus like allows you to maybe curl back up.
So this is actually like a big problem I'm having right now, because I understand the value of telehealth and I understand the like benefits and how it's like, you know, pros and cons of anything. Right. But like, I want to get out of my house. Like I do not want, I do go to school online. I do all my work online. I talk to you online. Like I would like to get out of house and put on high heels.
Do it.
And I know, and I imagine that, well, but like I can't because I need a quiet private place and like to do all my work, and like that's the best place to do that is alone in my home office. But like
it's you're just, ready to be in the world again.
Yes, I am very much ready. And yeah, and you know, and I get it that it's a place of like, well, I haven't had to do that, so I've got sort of the grass is always greener, but man, I really want to just like wear pants again.
Or just a dress or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about, I'm looking at my like yoga pants. I want to wear proper pants. I want to wear zippers.
You want to go, you want to go get dressed up and go to work.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I respect that.
Which I mean, I haven't, you know, I understand it could get old and I understand, I like, hopefully the good news, you know, hopefully it'll be like people can have more of a balanced life. They can be like, look, I saw working from home. I saw the benefits of it. I want to do it 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it's a lovely balance to be able to get dressed up, you know, every now and then, but not have to be dressed up every
not
day.
5 days a week, but three. That might be, that might be lovely. A good structure, right?
Beautiful structure. I totally agree.
Okay.
Okay. Grocery shop. Hopefully people, but these are things you need to teach kids to do. I really do believe, because there's one down the list, which is like how to fly in an airport. And I think that actually you'd be surprised if you asked your child, like at the moment you pull up on the curb of the airport, to like navigate you and get you to the plane, how it seems intuitive, but I don't think it is. So like, okay, even though grocery shopping is simple to us, I don't think it's simple to our children.
Boots, I will give credit where credit is due. Boots has really been intentional about teaching our children how to travel. And so whenever we get to the airport, he's like, this is John's airport. He's like, okay, John, get us on the plane. And that's then amazing. John has to go in and like enter our confirmation numbers and check our bags. And then, you know, once we get to security, he's like, John, what gate are we at? And so John will have to navigate it. And then when we land, he's like, we're in Houston. It's going to be Anna Drew's flight.
And that's fun.
So he makes a different kid like be our leader.
Yeah. And I mean, I think my children would do better in an airport than a grocery store, to be honest, because my kids have not been to a grocery store because I'm shopping online and it comes, you know, they're never in a grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I actually need to get them into a grocery store more. Okay, set the table.
Going back to the car theme, we've got jumpstart a car, fill a car with gas. Good ideas. Uber, Lyft safety.
I actually feel super safe with Uber and Lyft. They're all like satellite controlled.
Yeah.
Do you feel I actually feel
safe. I remember I used to feel very scared when I got into taxis. Like when I was going a far way, like if I was going to the airport, I would.
Yeah, but
like,
taxis a long time ago, because there was no, I mean, you were just jumping in with a strange person. But now Uber and Lyft, I mean, that's the thing. Like they're all satellite controlled. I feel very safe in Uber and Lyft.
Right, right. I do feel.
Probably safer than just riding in actually an unregulated taxi.
Right.
You know what? You know what? You know what? Speaking of like kind of the combo between traveling and safety is like teaching your children like how to travel, like staying in a hostel. Like that was terrifying.
Oh, right. So you, I don't think I've ever done that.
You haven't done that?
Mm-mm.
You have to like, we would, yeah, we would stay in ones that we would like try to like not be like super cheap because it's not safe, you know?
Oh, where you're just sleeping in a giant dorm room type of thing?
Yeah.
Right. That does sound a little scary.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm also the one who got a single always in college. So I love friends. I love to be social, but I do need
you
my own.
You always had a single in college.
I know. I did. I did. And isn't that interesting? Like freshman year, didn't know anyone, had no friends, but I knew like single for me. That was something I like was very firm on.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, I'll get a double to make friends. And then I moved out.
Oh, you did. You would have gotten like a quadruple knowing you. Okay. Pay taxes. That's important. Outdoor safety. That's kind of a biggie. I don't even know if we can address that.
Outdoor internet safety. Where do you see outdoor safety?
It's at the very bottom.
I see you're reading it up to up. You're reading
set a clock.
I'm reading the list bottom to top, which is interesting.
I'm just reading it as I.
Yeah. Outdoor safety is kind of a big one. I'll give that a B too. Proper tipping.
Oh, that's crucial. And I think, yeah, I could do an entire episode.
We actually should. Let's table that because I would love to, if we could find a tipping expert.
No, I am a tipping expert. It's me. Like you have one. I don't claim to be an expert in many things. I'm an excellent tipper. And someone wrote in of like, oh, one time we got a comment that, oh, I give bad tips. And they were completely misrepresenting what I was discussing. Like I will go to the gauntlet that I'm an amazing tipper.
Okay. Well, let's table this. I want to do a tipping episode. Make coffee. Okay.
Dude. It's a great life skill.
Can I just tell you though, I've been trying to drink less coffee because I drink too much and I'm worried about like cortisol making me gain weight and all these other reasons. Anyway, I have found this new product, Graham. We should see if they want to advertise on our show. It's called Ticino. What?
It's just so you. Keep going.
T-E-E-C-H-I-N-O. Ticino. It's made of hickory tea. And like a bunch of like herbs. It's an herbal tea, but I don't like tea per se. Like I'll take a tea in the evening, but like.
Is it made of chicory by any chance? Are you sure it's hickory? And chicory, not
chicory. Chicory, yeah.
Okay.
Chicory.
Sounds good. Keep going. Proceed.
It sounds to me, I was saying to Boots this morning, I'm like, I think, because he's like, is this made out of mushrooms? And I'm like, no, I think this is like the tea from like the, you know, in Paris, like in World War II, you would drink when you couldn't get regular tea. And he's like, I love that you tell this story because I've read the Nightingale like 10 times. And he's like, I love that you talk about Paris during World War II. Like you were there. You always talk about Paris like, World War II. Like, you know, it's like you were not actually in World War II, Kirsten. So, but anyway, I think if I read the Nightingale, if anyone's read the Nightingale, I think it's the same coffee they had then. But anyway, it's herbal tea and it doesn't make you it has
a robust taste. It has that like, umami, that fifth taste. Well, that's like chicory drinking. Tea is French. That's what they drink in New Orleans. That's
okay, it's like drinking it's like drinking like non-alcoholic beer, like when you want to have like the ritual and the taste but you don't want the effects. That's what it's like. So I'm down to one cup of coffee a day, which is huge for me.
That is huge. As I actually just took a sip of my coffee. I could drink nine cups of coffee.
I'm not even jealous.
If coffee doesn't faze me. I could drink it at midnight and I'd go straight to sleep.
Oh, you're like my parents. Okay, Graham, would you please teach me plant care?
I get a B in plant care. I'm not so bad. I'm hit or miss. I have some plants that just want to thrive under my tutelage and then others that just don't do well. But I also live in a crazy climate, so... And I have a lot of plants to keep up with. So, but I do think one thing, and we touched upon this before, people don't have enough plants in their houses. I look at these design sites that are so gorgeous and all these beautiful websites and all these pictures of like gorgeous rooms and whatever. And I'm like, they are gorgeous. I totally agree, but they're dead without the life of plants.
Like, do they have plants in the ads or in the pictures?
No, like if you look at these gorgeous, gorgeous homes that are, you know, or even Instagram accounts, count how many plants people have. And you can just, it finishes a room. You don't have to be like a crazy plant person.
Wait, I don't understand. Are you saying these rooms, what is catching your eye that we don't realize
is the absence.
Is
the absence of plants. So the few things that I noticed that are like my pet peeves is bookshelves without books, right? Where people are just decorating these days, or like faux books, right? That bothers me. houses without plants in every room. Like, you know, they say there's supposed to be a mirror in every well-decorated room.
No.
You always have to have supposed to have a mirror in a room somewhere, something that like reflects light. It's just kind of like a thing. You have to make sure you have one somewhere. I just don't understand a room that doesn't have a plant in it.
Mm. Yeah, I have no
plan. It's not finished to me. It would be like not having a lampshade on
your lamp.
You
need to come to my house where it's just empty vases. Like, yeah, I literally totally have empty vases sitting there with some dirt in the bottom. And I'm just like, meh.
There's so many low maintenance plants these days.
Yeah, there's not one low maintenance enough for me. Really bad.
There you go. Well, now you know my pet peeve.
Check credit score.
That's crucial.
But here's the problem. Every time you check it, it goes down.
It dings it. I know. I don't understand that. I totally agree. You should not be checking your credit score. That's messed up too.
Have we even discussed that? It is so messed up. On what planet is like the person being responsible get a ding?
I totally agree. 100%. I don't understand.
Or like the idea that you have to like my parents were talking about when they were like, you know, in school, and they were saying when my dad was in medical school, and they're like, yeah, we had to take out, we're talking about loans and whatever. And she's like, well, we took out loans because we wanted to buy a house. So we had to like establish that we were, it's like, what kind of land is it where you have to borrow money to like,
prove
you can pay us back? I mean, it's the whole system's a little cuckoo.
Yeah. I remember we had opened some like line of credit, or I don't even remember what it was, a long time ago. And they offered us this astronomical amount of money. And I was like, we will never take that much money. Like, why would we want that? Like, please, no, thank you. And I remember turning it down initially and because thinking, you know, I have a perfect credit score. Like, I don't want to ding that, you know, but in retrospect, they give you raise your credit score based upon how much more indebtedness you take on. That's a head scratcher to me.
Yes, yes, yes. Or like when I applied for my student loans for graduate school, and like you get, they like paid me tuition, but then I also got like a living allowance. And I'm like, well, like I'm a stay at home mom, like I'm, you know, but part of me was kind of like, ooh, like I could use a lifestyle upgrade. But I didn't take it.
Get a tear and don't
follow a recipe. I've got a little girl who loves to cook, and I've got my middle child loves to cook too. Follow recipes. They all actually, you know what? I've done like the Hello Fresh with the kids.
Uh huh.
Love that. They really enjoy that.
Yeah, those are fun. Those really are fun. You know, we need to get on our show, and she'll never come. She's like really big. In fact, we need to do an episode on hers. This Tegan Gerard girl, the Half Baked Harvest. Do you know she's bigger than Ina Garten?
What is Half Baked Harvest?
Oh, please, are you kidding me? Now that's rock level. How do you not know this?
Rock, like the rock.
Like you're living under a rock. The fact that I know this and you don't. Tegan Gerard, Half-Baked Harvest. She's like one of the biggest food cooking Instagram blah, blah, blah stars of our time. Wow. She makes these gorgeous. You have to follow her. Kirsten, you love to cook. How do you not know about this?
I don't know.
She's a big, 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 big deal. She's young and lives in, it seems like rural Colorado somewhere, like maybe in the middle of nowhere, not quite sure, but she's one of maybe 7-8 children, something like that. And they're very Colorado kind of just, I don't quite understand. I don't understand also what her proposition is, because it seems like she gives away all of her recipes. And she doesn't do a lot of press and a lot of publicity all the time. She has cookbooks, but also you can get all of her recipes for free. And she's churning them out. And they're beautiful. They're fabulous. And her Instagram site is the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen.
Okay.
She's legitimately more popular than Ina Garten.
I just started watching Ina Garten like 2 weeks ago. I'm obsessed.
Oh, yeah. How could you not be? She's delightful.
Well, I've just seen the show. I obviously knew her. But okay. Graham. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to tell you, but one of my life skills is to podcast with efficiency.
I love it. Wrap it up. We know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Yeah. Know when to walk away.
Okay. Well, I thought this was a delightful episode. It was a cute little list.
It is a good list. It's made me think. What about all the things like, they have how to apologize on here. How to admit when you were wrong.
You're an amazing apologizer. You don't even have to work on that. I'm sure your children
I'm excellent at apologizing, and I'm excellent at admitting when I'm wrong.
Those are amazing skills. So few truly, people do that. We should give a lesson in that, because you nail that.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time today. Thanks everyone for listening and welcome home.
And that's all we have from Kirsten and Graham. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Welcome Home. If you're interested in hearing more from the iconic best friend duo, please subscribe, tell your friends about us, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook for giveaways and other exciting updates. Until next time, welcome home.